And just really dealing with two words. And these words are used 735 times in the Bible, the phrase. And I read this week what constitutes a good sermon is a good introduction and a good closing, and as close together as you can get them as possible. So this morning we're not going to do 735 different points, but going to do three. And the words are "it is." You say, well, that's a strange combination of "it is." But when you read different accounts of the Scripture, you'll find that there are phrases that sort of jump out at you, and you begin to look at them and begin to study them a little bit. And so that phrase, "it is," I looked it up on my concordance on my phone, eSword, and it told me 735 times. I thought, wow, that's a lot of "it is." And I began to read some of them, and boy, a lot of them you could preach a sermon on. But I've only picked out three, so we're safe. The introduction and the closing, I hope, will be close enough together where we can make it through this. We're going to be reading in Matthew's account to begin with. And then we'll read also in the Gospel of John and then in the book of Romans. And so three different passages and three different places, three different subjects. I guess could have made three different messages out of this, but I wanted to put them together and look at them this morning. I want to begin reading, first of all, in Matthew chapter 4. And this, of course, is the account of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the the Lord giving us the account of what took place. And he gives it to us here in the Gospel of Matthew. Verse number 1 says, when was Jesus led up to the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and saith to him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give thee angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Here the Lord, the devil turns the way of the Lord answering him, and the devil uses Scripture also. And so you can be assured that he knows the Scripture. He knows how to twist it and knows how to turn it. And so the devil takes the Scripture now and says, here's the pinnacle of the temple, and it is written here. The Scripture gives us those things about the Lord would protect him. Verse number 7. And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. You'll find in the passage of Scripture this morning here in Matthew chapter 4, you find that the Lord uses that little phrase three times, "it is." It is written. And I want us, the first thing this morning that I want us to have in our heart is that there are some things that are written in the Word of God that all of them are for our good. And even though the devil comes along and uses and misuses the scripture, God always has the answer for that. And the Lord uses the Word of God. He uses the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus refers back three different times to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 8, verse number 3, where it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. In Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and verse 16, where it says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 13, and chapter 10, verse 20, where thou shalt serve only God. And so here in these verses, we find that the Lord takes the scripture and says, it is written. That little phrase itself is used in the New Testament 63 times. It is written. Time and time again, you'll find the Bible tells us that the scripture has been written. There are other phrases that are used that gives us the understanding that the Bible is for our good and for our benefit. That the scriptures might be fulfilled is one of the phrases that's used also. But when Jesus used these three phrases here in the book of Matthew chapter 4, in the temptation, the Lord tells us that He is the source of life. That it's not something that's physical to us. It's not something that we just need for the body, but that we have much deeper need. And that need is something that can only be supplied to us by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone. We are more than physical people. We are spiritual beings. Man seeks after the physical food. Here in a few moments, we'll leave this building and we'll go different places. We'll go to our homes or we'll go to some restaurant and we'll seek that physical need because we have once again come to that place of hunger. And we'll eat and we'll take all that food in and we'll say, well, I probably won't eat anything else today. How many times we have said that? And somehow, every 3 or 4 hours later, there comes that gnawing feeling and we go look for something else. Man's always seeking that physical fulfillment of life, that fulfillment that gives to us. But the life that we have is much more than just physical. The Lord had, He had fasted here 40 days and 40 nights. And the first thing that the devil comes to Him with is that physical need of bread. And He says, why don't you just make these stones bread that you can take and bring into your body and fulfill that need of your life of physical hunger. So the Lord answers him and tells him that it is written. I'm glad this morning we have a written Word of God. When Jesus Christ was living upon this earth, He was the physical living Word of God. And as He spoke and as He walked from place to place, He was that Word of God being manifest to those that were around Him, to His disciples and to the multitudes. And they were there watching and listening and hearing the very Word of God, the living Word of God. But there in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 11, we find that the Lord has been taken from us. He has ascended into heaven. And the angels came and said, this same Jesus, as you've seen Him go into heaven, He's going to come again. And He gave them a commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And our gospel is not a physical fulfillment. It's not a physical need, but it is a spiritual need that every individual has. Every person that's living this morning, every individual that is up on planet Earth has not only a physical need of nourishment, but they must have the spiritual need fulfilled by the Word of God. And so when Jesus told him, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, He was giving us a statement that it's more than physical life, but it's a spiritual life that we have as an individual. We are born into this world physically, but we have a spiritual need when we are born. And as we grow and mature and understand that need is there, that emptiness is there, that can only be fulfilled by the the Word of God and by the Spirit of the Lord that gives to us the message of salvation. Jesus emphasizes that we are our spiritual need is fulfilled by every word of God. There in verse number four in our text, he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So he tells us here the word of God is very important. It's very nourishing to us spiritually in our life. And God's character is given to us. And God shows to us and gives us the understanding that what we have and what we need in our life is more than physical things, but that which is spiritual. It is written. He told him it's the source of life in verse number four. He tells us that he is the one in verse number seven, that is God's character, that he is not to be tempted. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. It is given to us in the Scripture that we are to not tempt God. And we're not to have those things before us. We're to prove God. We're to look to Him. God loves us and concerned about us. And so therefore, when the devil came to him and said, the angels have charge over you, the Lord said, it's written, don't tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. It is written not only that, but it is written that we are to worship only the Lord. We are to only have Him as our point of interest and our point of worship. This world this morning worships a lot of different things, a lot of different creatures, a lot of different emblems, a lot of different idols are presented before people that they bow to and they worship, and they have that desire that needs to be fulfilled. And so the Scripture tells us here that our object of worship is not things, our interest is not those things of life, but our interest is that we're to worship only the Lord God of heaven. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Whether the devil recognized it or not, whether he understood it or not, the Lord was his Lord. The Lord was his master. The Lord was his overseer. And the devil tried to always overtake and overshadow the things of God. But the Lord said, don't tempt him. Don't do that and just make him the object of your worship. Man worships creatures. Man worships things. Man worships the figment of their imaginations. But he does, and he is commanded to worship only the Lord. And so this morning, it is written. It is written that we don't not tempt God. It is written that we have a spiritual need, that we understand that need, and that need can only be fulfilled and can only be supplied by the Holy Spirit of God. You and I are here this morning because the Lord one day spoke to us and made us realize our spiritual need. We may have been filled physically, but we certainly were empty when it came to the spiritual things of life. And we are to understand that God is God, and there is none other. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 3. God tells the people of Israel, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God tells us that we should have no other gods before us. So it is written. That's that first little phrase that we use the word, it is. We find in the Scripture that the devil can be defeated by the Word of God. He can be defeated by the written word of the Lord. I'm glad this morning this book that we hold in our lap is a completed text. It's a text that we have completion and we have everything given to us and we can understand and we can know that what we have before us is truth. Pilate asked the question before the Lord. He says, what is truth? Well, you and I this morning, we have the truth of God's word. Angels proclaim that he is to be worshiped, and angels proclaim that this is truth. And so we find that every word that is before us, and God says, and the Lord says, by every word of the Lord, it is written. So this morning we have this little phrase, it is, and it is written. Now turn over to John chapter 19, verse 30. John chapter 19, verse number 30. We do not have to labor this second point very much because it hasn't been too many weeks ago, about a month ago, I think it is, that brought a message entitled, "It's Done," where Jesus cried from the cross. And we find in John chapter 19 and verse number 30, the Bible says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is,'" and the next word is "finished." It is finished. And so we find that not only is it written, but the Lord hanging on the cross of Calvary, he says, "It is finished." Jesus is the finalization of our soul's salvation. It is he that has given us eternal life. It is he that has begun a good work in us, and he will perform it until the day of redemption. He will give to us not only instantaneous life, not only instantaneous salvation, but he continually works in our life, and we call that the grace of God maturing and working and helping us. And what God began in us, one day he will complete that, and there's no change, there's no alteration. He is all sufficient in everything that he has done. And there, hanging on the cross of Calvary, Jesus said, "It's complete, it's finished, it's over." Paul, Jesus finalized it, and Paul repeated these words in his personal testimony there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. Paul says, "I have finished my course." That means it's completed. Paul had come to the end of his life. You and I this morning, we haven't gotten there yet. We're still living. We're still among the living, and we, as far as we know and planning, we'll be living tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But there's an end out there somewhere that we do not even know about. We do not know when. Even those that are sick and afflicted, they're not sure, and the doctors are not sure when it's finished. But there comes a finished time. There comes a finished day for all of us. And Paul knew that in a very short time he was going to be executed for the cause of Christ and because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of God that he had proclaimed. And there he is in prison, and the days are counting down, and the days are getting short. And he writes to Timothy, and he says, "I have finished my course." Paul realized his life was just about over. Jesus realized his life for that moment was just about over, and the work that had been given unto him, he had completed that. And thank God, our salvation is complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing added to it, nothing taken from it. It is complete in him. And so Paul, and as he was a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, he comes to the understanding that my life is finished. It is finished. It is over. Few men die today saying what Paul said. Paul says, "I've finished my course." Few people die having that understanding, and most of our lives would have to say unfinished. Too many things that we do not get accomplished that maybe we would desire to do. Too many things that we leave undone. Too many things that we will not accomplish. And so therefore, maybe our life is unfinished. Our life is not complete. But there's a day coming, it's appointed a man wants to die. How many times we've said that? The appointment is before us, somewhere out there in the future. My appointment may be today. We have appointments with doctors. We have appointments with lawyers. We have appointments with everybody. And there comes a process. And in time, that day of appointment comes to us and we meet that appointment. We just last week or so came back from vacation. We had an appointment with every motel, every place we stayed. And I made those reservations sometimes, I think, about 2 or 3 months ahead of time. And it's somewhere out there in the future, and we forget about it. And then one day I got on my phone had an alert says, "Your appointment at such and such a motel is going to be due in 3 days. Well, the phone told me my appointment was coming up, but life doesn't tell us when our appointment's coming up. Life doesn't tell us when it's going to be the last day. Life doesn't give us an alert that it's over. Life doesn't show us a moment and a place and a time. But it is an appointment that every man, every woman, every individual will meet one day. We are dying creatures. Some die without God. Thank the Lord for those that die with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I've finished my course. Jesus says, it is written. And we have all these words before us, these many words and chapters and books of the Bible. And these words are written for strength and for help and for guidance. And Paul says, I finished my course. And his course was one of encouragement to you and I. If Paul could finish his course, then I think we can finish our course also. Paul had much harder time in some areas than we would have. Paul had a much different way of life. And Paul had a lot of different circumstances come to him that we do not have. But yet when he come down to the end of life, he said, I've completed it. I've done everything the Lord had for me to do. Not many people can say that. Not many people would have the assurance that they had done those things that the Lord had for them. James utters some words about life also, and he uses that little phrase, it is also. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 15, that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin reigns in these mortal bodies, and one day we're going to die because we're sinners. We deteriorate, we decay, we run down. And so there's a sin that is ever before us, but I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary said, I've taken care of that. I have completed the task. And then the last place I want us to read this morning is the book of Romans, chapter number 13. Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 11. Knowing that it is finished, that it is written, and this last time that we look at this morning in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now, notice this, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Man shall not live by bread alone. Make not provision just for the flesh. Most of the world this morning is living and surviving just for the flesh. Just for what they can obtain, what they can get, what they can enjoy, what they can consume, what they can destroy. Man is living for things. But here we find, Paul tells these Romans, he says, now is high time to awake out of sleep. The story, the understanding is here that there's a lot of people that are asleep in their Christian walk. Because the next statement that Paul makes is that our salvation is nearer than when we first began. He tells us here in verse number 11, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That doesn't mean that we're getting closer to being saved. It just means our salvation, as far as the Lord is concerned, us being with Him, is nearer than it was the day we trusted Jesus Christ. We are closer to the coming of the Lord today than we were yesterday. And you go back ever how many months, years, how long it has been since you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you go back to that, you're this much closer to the coming of the Lord and the completion of our life and being totally away from sin and away from this world and totally given out into the things of God and in the presence of the Lord forever and forever. We're much closer now than we were then. And Paul says it's high time. It's about time that we wake up to the understanding that Jesus is coming. We wake up to the point that it's time to awake. Salvation is near. The day is almost over. The scripture says here it's far spent. You go into the afternoon and the clouds roll across the sky and the sun goes down in the west and everything begins to shadow. The day is far spent. The day is almost gone. And really and truly, that's the way our life is. It's almost over. Somebody said the other day, said, "Wow, it doesn't seem like it's been any time since I was," and they give some figure. It doesn't seem like any time. It doesn't seem like 20 or 30 years. I hear somebody talk about 1980. It sounds like, that seems like it ought to be just a few days ago. 1981, 1989. 1987, how many years was that? All of a sudden, the years mount up and we understand the day is far spent. You look at folks you haven't seen in a number of years and you say, "My, they've gotten older. I haven't changed a bit," but they sure have. And you know what they're thinking when they look at me and they look at you? "Why, they've changed a lot." I haven't, but they're really looking old. You know what the fact is? We're all changing. We're all looking older. Because one of these days, the day will be over. And it will be far spent. The only time that is left between night and day is called what? Dawn. The dawning of the day. I read some things about dawn. People are the sleepiest at dawn. Seems as though they are maybe in a deeper sleep. My problem is when dawn starts and the light comes on, I'm awake. But for the most part, people are more tired and they're sleepier just as the sun is coming up, just before that. It's a very short period of time. Most military attacks by the enemy have always been at the dawning of the day. Unexpected. And we find that our life is coming to an end, a dawning of a new day. And Paul says here, it's time to wake out of our sleep. It's time to have realization. The playtime is over, the days are gone, and our youth is over, and the things that are trivial ought to be trivial. And now we need to awake out of our sleep and realize that we're approaching the time that one day we shall meet the Lord. Praise His name. One of these days we'll get out of this mess that we're in called civilization. I'm not so sure civilization is a good word. Very few people are civilized. Even in civilized nations. Peter talks about men becoming brute beasts. I believe we see that happening before our eyes. And so we're at the time now that we need to awake out of our sleep and realize that there is an important event on the horizon, the dawning of a new day. It's just a short period of time, and He can come in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, and things are settled then. It's all over. It's time to wake up. It's time for the lost to be saved. It's time for the godly to live their life. It's time to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. It is time. And knowing the time, it is high time we awake. Knowing the time that we live, and we of all people this morning in the house of God that has proclaimed and preached the Word of God all these many years, of all people, we ought to be aware of the time that we're living in. It should not shock us. It should not put a shock in our mind of all the things that are happening, because we have read it time and time and time again. that this is what's going to happen. And so it's time that we wake up out of our sleep, our lethargicness, and to realize Jesus is coming. That He is on the horizon. He's the dawning of a new day. It is time. It is finished. It is written. You know, the Scripture tells us it is written that one day it will be finished. And it is now time that we're aware of that. I pray the Lord would help us to have the sense about us of what's happening in our world. It ought not to overtake us as a thief. It ought not to overshadow us as not knowing why. But as we see the day approaching, so much the more, we ought to be committed to serve and to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is written that one day it will be finished. Let's stand together this morning.